Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Renaissance has had a long history spanning close to 50 years since its formation in 1969. With several personnel changes in the beginning years, the sound of the group eventually matured into a unique blending of folk, rock, and classical music, including the integration of a full symphonic orchestra. Crowning all of this was the sound of the equally unique five-octave voice of Annie Haslam. During the great success in the 70s, the band toured extensively through the world in support of their numerous album releases. Highlights of this era included three sold-out concerts at Carnegie Hall with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and a sold-out concert at the Royal Albert Hall with the Royal Philharmonic and Royal Chorale Society, all which were recorded and released as live albums. The woman whose crystal-clear, high-flying soprano vocals earned her worldwide attention as the lead singer of the English classical rock band Renaissance has recently achieved an entirely new level of appreciation as an intuitive painter. Annie is able to tune into people, animal situations, feelings, and places and portray them in her own unique style. On canvas, Annie Haslam's unmistakable world of sound is taken into unique vistas of color and vibration, not unlike the flow of her five-octave voice, transporting the viewer to other worlds and through inner boundaries is her ultimate goal, bringing healing, serenity, and peace through her work. In 2009, Annie and bandmate Michael Dunford reformed Renaissance. Sadly, Michael passed away in November 2012 and is greatly missed. Annie decided to keep the music alive and kept touring with Renaissance in support of their album, Symphony of Light. With their musical virtuosity, five strong lead voices, newest technological instrumentation, and love for the music, they have created a new sound, taking them into a new age and performing the repertoire with powerful precision across the world. This incarnation of Renaissance is new and different and is nothing short of amazing. Annie Haslam and Renaissance recently released their new DVD entitled A Symphonic Journey and are currently embarked on their Day of the Dreamer tour in support of their new DVD / two CD set while performing selected U.S. dates this fall. Please welcome English vocalist, songwriter, and painter, best known as the lead singer of progressive rock band Renaissance since 1971, Annie Haslam. Hello, Annie.
Hi, Ray. You wore me out saying all that.
I wore myself out.
Good God. I was thinking, who's that?
Who is that person? I forgot.
Who is that person?
Well, welcome back. It's so good to hear your voice again. You're always my favorite interview, my favorite person. Welcome back from Japan, by the way.
Thank you.
How was your trip?
It was pretty amazing, except that when I got to the airport to board the plane, I was refused entry.
You're kidding me.
No, it wasn't allowed on the plane because apparently when one has a green card and goes to Canada, even if you're going through Canada, which we were doing to get, it was like we were stopping there to go on to Tokyo, You have to have a special card called an ETA for anybody that's listening.
Okay.
And my travel agent knew nothing of it, and so I didn't have the card. There was no time to get it. We tried to get it, but the ETA website was down. So I'm standing there thinking, well, I've got the band has still got to go. I've got to find a way of getting there on my own. You know,
God. Oh my God.
Yeah, and so but I did it. I had 20 minutes to get to the gate and get a United non-stop flight, which was good, mm-hmm. but I had to pay for another ticket. So it was kind of a weird start to it. But you know, we've been to Japan before. Where the last time was 8 years ago, and it was fabulous. It's just that the jet lag is just crazy, and it's like going to another planet.
Yeah,
I've always thought
imagine.
I'm from another planet. I think we're all from different planets, to be honest. And I paint them, you know. But I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it's just so very different there. And the audiences are very quiet usually mm-hmm. until the very, very end. But they were quite vibrant, actually, from what I remember the last time, particularly with our new songs as well, like Symphony of Light, which is mm-hmm. the one I wrote about Leonardo da Vinci. They just went crazy over it. And it was great. We got there. We had a day off. I did get there in time, a day off. My day off was signing autographs in a record store.
Right.
And trying to stay awake, you know, the jet lag, but it was. I can't believe it went so quickly. I'm back, and it feels sometimes, you know, when you do something. We did it. 4 days. We were there. That's all.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I saw a video that you did with a robot. You were playing with a Japanese robot. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's me playing, and there's that little thing's advertising the currency. Place I was changing some money. I was going, oh, hello, you know.
I'm glad the band is traveling the world again. You know, it's nice to see
well,
you guys out there.
It is. It's not easy when it's a 6-piece band. You know, we're what they call a heritage band. So, which is in a way is a good thing. It's a very nice thing to be called, but. It's you know, there's so many bands out there working now, mm-hmm. you know, doing live work, and there's a lot of competition, I guess. But the thing is, with this band, there's still nothing like it.
Oh, it's a wonderful band. The musicians.
There's nothing
are incredible.
Like the music. Yeah. There's nothing like it. You know, even when we did Grandi Nel Vento, that was the one we did in 2012 before Mickey passed
yep.
away, and. We called it. We changed it to Symphony of Light about 6 months later when it was the distribution company took it over and wanted mm-hmm. bonus tracks, et cetera, like they do when you put something out, you know, and it goes out further into the world. With that album, when we did Grandinet, the song Grandinet El Vento and Symphony of Light and Mystic and the Muse. They went mm-hmm. down a storm, and the first time we played them, it was like we're standing ovation, you know. And so we really felt that we'd kind of touched something from the past, which is what we wanted to do. We wanted to gather up what we had, that magic that we had. Because you never have the exact magic because you don't have the five people that were in
right.
the band at that time who were brilliant, you know. And it still amazes me to think that, you know, all the albums that we did, even when we did Scheherazade on stage, there were only four musicians playing that music because all I did was play a tambourine, maracas. And it's amazing. You hear it and you think, whoa, how did they do it? But now, because we've got two keyboard players, it makes a lot of difference to have keyboards that sound like the real thing, you know. It's wonderful. And I don't get tired of performing the songs. And of course, last fall, we got to do the four shows with an orchestra that we put together ourselves with the help of Brave Tessa, who's my partner in mm-hmm. the band. He's a brilliant guy. He's our MD. He's a brilliant keyboard player. I've written a lot of songs with him. A very clever man. And he, through all the musicians he knew from New Jersey and New York, we put the 10-piece orchestra together. And these guys playing, you know, like New York Philharmonic and all big orchestras, you know, they're fabulous. And that was just an amazing experience. And it was 40 years last year to when we played at the Albert Hall the last time we played with an orchestra.
That's amazing.
We did it 40 years was last year. That was 40 years to the day. Not to the day, but close. And it was... And the other thing was that I had my paintings behind us on a screen behind the orchestra, 24 foot by 12 foot. I didn't paint those. I painted them small and we had them enlarged. Somebody said,
I was wondering, how did you have the time to paint those,
God, this woman said, hey, how did you do it? As I said, it was easy. I got the canvases of 12 inches by 24 inches. Got a really good camera, and that's how it worked. But that was amazing because I paint songs now as well, and I had a painting for each song behind us. Oh, it was amazing. It was incredible. Apart from, you know, playing with an orchestra, it was two giant, giant dreams come true.
I love the DVD. It's amazing. I love it. And the DVD itself... The cover is your painting,
Yeah, that's Ashes Are Burning. And actually, I had the dress I wore in the DVD. I hadn't, because I'd only just done the painting for Ashes Are Burning, so I hadn't had a dress made at that point. But the dress I was wearing was the painting Mystic and the Muse. But I'm wearing that now. I had that made into a silk dress to get that goes underneath that like kind of Victorian velvet riding jacket kind of thing. I'm full of stuff. It's frustrating in a way, you know. It's like I'm doing too much.
You are doing a lot.
I've got too much in my mind all the time. I'm so stupid.
Well, last time we talked, you told me your dream was to wear your art.
Yeah, I'm wearing it now, Yep.
And not only that, I noticed Rave Tassar's tie. Was that you also?
You know what? That was a tie you already had.
Oh, it looked like your painting.
It did. I know. He said, you know what? I think I've got a tie that's similar to yours. Amazing.
That's funny.
Yep.
How about Mark's guitar? Was that your painting?
That's actually painted. It was made by a local lutherer called Bob Cummins, Bill Cummins, who's down in Pennsylvania, for a friend of mine, Bob Miles, who's a jazz guitarist, and he has one of the only guitar shows on I think it was Comcast or something, where he had all the, you know, Steve Howe and people like that on there, and he. They commissioned me to paint that for Bob, and then when we did the tour and we started to do Ashes Are Burning again, I said to Bob, I said, do you think we could borrow the guitar? Unfortunately, though, in the DVD, when I was editing it, I nearly had a heart attack because one of the cameras went down. And at the beginning of Mark's solo, you probably might have noticed that. At the end. But the thing is, the camera is on Ray, but then it's on me, like, clapping and everything and smiling like crazy. And I wasn't playing the guitar solo, though, because they had no more footage. The camera went down that was on the, and then it came back on later on. It was like, oh, God, you know. But that's real life, isn't it?
So we're getting the real scoop here.
Story of the guitar. God. And I've actually made I've made some scarves as well, silk scarves out of Ashes Are Burning, and I'm going to be putting them on my website. They came out absolutely gorgeous. So it's, you know, I'm not going to do many more things like that, but because it's expensive to do that, you know. But it came out good, and it's unique, and it's that's another dream come true, is to wear my art and wear it on stage.
You know, it reminds me of the Beatles when they did the cartoon, and everywhere they went, it was this like psychedelic art following them everywhere. That's what's happening with you. Everywhere you go, your paintings are, you know, your artwork is following you everywhere you go.
Yeah, and I love it. I can't explain it. And when I paint, I don't think about anything. It's really odd, you know, except if
that's
somebody
weird.
Wants a pet portrait. Then what I do is I look at the picture of the pet and I have it sitting in front of me, and that's all I need. And then and everybody says I get it. I don't know if you've seen any of the pet portraits I've done, because the backgrounds are completely surreal, and like these animals are like out in space, or you know, It's when people say, can you paint this, and it's a black cat. When I first got my two black cats, I thought, oh, mm-hmm. God, how am I going to put anything in the two black cats, you know? Because they were jet black, and that's all I right. saw was two jet black blobs, you know, with four eyes. But I made it work, and it always seems to work. I love painting. It's, and I've got my, I had an art show a couple of weeks ago in Kel-Tiberia. It's a place, I don't know if you knew, New Hope, Pennsylvania. It's a gorgeous place on the river. Which river would that be? The Schuylkill or anyway, it goes through New Hope, and I it was Labor Day weekend, and I worked really hard to get these paintings, little paintings done, because people, I do these 4x6 inch paintings, and they're affordable, mm-hmm. and they're all just completely different, and I always do well there. It's always, and it's a great day. Only one person came.
Really? You're kidding me.
Yeah, because it was the really, really hot day. It was a Labor Day weekend, and New Hope was empty because everybody had gone down to the shore.
Yeah.
But
I'm very familiar with your area. I've been to Bucks County many, many times.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's kind
of
English in a way. You know, it's got an English look. But I'm doing the art. We're doing another opening this coming Saturday. So.
Oh, good.
So we're going to have another go at it. Yeah.
Well, this is how well I know your paintings. Number one, your pet portraits. My favorite's Louis.
Is Louis
is he a sheepdog, a Shetland sheepdog?
It looks like a regular, the black and white, not the sheepdog, the collie, the border collie, I think.
The border collie. I love his tongue.
I think it's a border collie. Yeah, something like that. Well, you were close. It's a dog.
It's a dog.
It was a dog, yeah. But
I love that. I love that painting. I'm going to end up buying one of your paintings. I know.
Oh,
for
good.
Sure. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful, really. I love it as much as I love singing. And you know, when I come off the road and when I can't hit the notes anymore, which I don't know. It's our 50th anniversary next year, and
really?
We are planning. We're working on a European tour right now. And,
oh, great.
How much longer can I do it? You know what I mean? I can't think, well, let's do another tour here and another tour there. And I'm thinking, will I be able to walk then? You know? You know? But I don't look at it like that. You know, I just I enjoy it. The Japan thing was tiring though, because it was started off with you know an upset that kind of threw me a bit. But I got on the plane
as long as your voice holds up, you can keep going. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I cringe when people go on stage and they can't hit notes and they change the songs and you know to suit the change. The thing down here, and so they're up there, you know. But it was something I didn't know until somebody did an interview with me like about a year ago. They said, well, your voice never dropped, did it? I said, what do you mean my voice never dropped? And apparently women's voices drop. They get lower. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, no, I mean, not everybody, obviously. My mother had a high voice when she was older, you know. Mm-hmm. And it never changed. Her voice never changed. But I never knew that. She said, yep, and that's why probably some singers do sing differently, because their voices drop. Or it could be the drugs and alcohol or whatever. I didn't do any of that,
cigarettes.
You know. Or not much.
I didn't.
I wasn't, you know, and our band was really a wine champagne band.
Very classy.
Yes.
Well, you got some tour dates coming up again. November 8th, you'll be at the Kent Stage in Ohio.
Yes.
In Ohio. Yeah. You'll be in Buffalo on the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be in New York at the YMCA Bolton Center for the Performing
Arts. Yeah, that's a Performing Arts Center,
Yeah. Now, you'll be back in my hometown in Baltimore on November 15th, and my cousin Renee will be at that show.
Wonderful.
No. Yep, she'll be up front. She spent the best tickets in the house. And
tell us to come and say hello afterwards.
I sure will.
Yeah.
November 16th, Newton Theater in Newton, New Jersey.
Yes.
The 17th, you'll be Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey. You'll be with the orchestra, right?
Yeah, that's with the orchestra again. Yep.
Wow.
Really excited about that. Yep.
And on the 18th, Terrytown Music Hall.
That's a beautiful old theater. Yeah.
You really got choked up when you were playing with the orchestra, didn't you?
Oh, God, yeah. It was, there's a video. Oh, yeah, well, did you see the little outtake? Not the outtakes, but the extra reel on the DVD?
Yes.
And the one where I introduced the wrong song and then fired myself. Oh, God. But that was the first show that we did. And I get it wrong, and I get completely the wrong song. And everybody's looking around going, why now? What? Yeah. But I think it was just excitement. But, of course, once the orchestra came in with Carpet of the Sun, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You were choked up during that song.
Oh, I was thinking about Michael Dunford, of course, because it was his dream as well as mine to do it, to do this again. Right. It's been a lot of good things going on. We did the cruise to the edge. We did the Moody Blues cruise. You know, we went to England and did some shows in England in 16 and in 15. We went to Europe as well, and that was quite amazing, really. So we've done really well. Somebody said the other day, have you written any more music? I do have some things that Michael was writing musical, mm-hmm. Scheherazade, and it never came to fruition. It was plagued by a lot of problems, which was very sad, but some of the music in it was phenomenal. And so if we decide that we're going to do that, do another album, it would be Michael's music. I couldn't do anybody else's. It has to be his music, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine he's got some music hidden around somewhere.
He did say to us that he'd got 8 songs for another album, and when I went there to see his wife Claire, it was 2013, the year after he passed away, we went through everything looking for these songs that he said he'd written. We couldn't find anything. They were probably still in his head, you know.
But
I don't know if you... there's a song that Rave Tessar and I wrote called Renaissance Man. I don't know if you've heard that.
I did hear that, yes.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing that with the orchestra.
Oh, wonderful.
This time, oh, God, yeah. There won't be a dry eye in the house. Yeah, we're doing some new. We're doing Day of the Dreamer with the orchestra this time. We're adding in Day of the Dreamer, Ocean Gypsy, opening it out. And Renaissance Man, and then we do also with the orchestra. In fact, it's only one song that's going to be without orchestra, which is Prologue. We do Symphony of Light, Mother Russia, it's going to be a wonderful show. And with the new ones, can't wait to do the new ones that we're going to learn. I wish we could
I like how your concert finished with Ashes Are Burning without the orchestra. It was like just the band, you know?
Yeah.
We
did that, but I think that we may not do that this time.
Really?
We've been doing it for so long. And sometimes you need to change for a little bit and then come back to it later on, you know. But I don't think we'll be doing it in the fall. Instead, we've added different songs. So it's going to be a wonderful show, though. It's wonderful songs.
You know, I noticed Joe Denizon was in the orchestra.
Yes.
During your show.
Yeah,
I had him on the show. He's a great guy. Yeah. Love
recently?
Joe.
Recently?
Yeah, recently.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he's Russian, but he speaks, 100% English. I mean,
did you see him on the video where I go around the orchestra and it was a rehearsal and I'm interviewing everybody?
I haven't. I didn't see that part yet. No.
Okay, that's in the extra reel of footage.
Oh, the extra reel. Okay.
Yeah, because I interview him. I interview all of them, and I said anyway. He said his wife. He said his wife. Mm-hmm. had played this song to him or whatever, and he played it to me, and it played a little bit of it, and I said, "Oh, that's nice. What is it?" And it was Sounds of the Sea, but I didn't get it. All the orchestra was laughing at him, you know, because I didn't. Well, what's that then? It Sounds of the Sea. Oh, sorry. But yeah, they're all fantastic people. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah,
great
and that makes a difference. Yeah. You know, the 16 of us on stage, which is, you know, it's a lot to deal with when you're deaf in one ear. I do have in ears, but I have to have a certain protection around me as well. Screens, we have screens at the back for the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the show was set up wonderful. I mean,
yeah.
It was a great job.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked great. Yeah,
you know, I've had four new grandchildren since we talked last.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Three girls and a boy.
Oh
so
my.
It's they came fast.
Gosh. Well, when did we speak last? Was that 2013 or when was that?
During Leonardo, you sang to me, Leonardo, on the phone.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I got a special treat.
You did. Yeah. I remember that now. Good God.
I love that album.
Oh yeah!
Wonderful album, and a beautiful song.
Yeah.
But you know, by the way, Sonia Christina, she gives her love back to you. We just had her on the show. I love her.
Oh yes, good.
She's awesome.
Good.
I didn't realize you guys toured together not long ago, right?
In England? That was 2016. Yeah.
Well,
it was a lot of fun.
That must have been a great show. Both of you together.
Yeah, it was.
Like that.
Yeah,
and you mentioned the Buxton Opera House is such a beautiful, magnificent place.
Yeah, that's the place where my dream started when I was a little girl, and my uncle and auntie and cousins were all in light opera, in an amateur operatic society, mm-hmm. and the Buxton Opera House is the home of that. And whenever I went on holiday, stayed with them, it was usually when they were doing some kind of production, and I used to get ticket, obviously, and I'd sit in this box. You know, you can imagine this. It's an incredible, beautiful. Buxton is a spa town, and it's in like in a valley with all these beautiful hills and moors around it. And the opera house is just stunning. And so I used to sit in this little box and watch, you know, my auntie and uncle sing. And I just loved Gilbert and Sullivan operettas. You know, like the Mikado and all that. Oh my God. And then my dream was one day when I started singing was to sing in the opera house, and I got to do it.
That's amazing.
I think we're going to be going back there actually in the spring.
That's such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Lots of history.
Yeah, there's some beautiful towns like that. They're just gorgeous. Yeah.
And I like your description of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And you said it looked like a space station.
Oh, good God. It was amazing, yeah. It's an old steelworks, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the buildings around it for like maybe a couple of miles are like, they're kind of spooky, actually. And some of them are lit up, and you think, why are they lit up? There's nothing there except the building, you know, an old building with old windows. But they've got a big casino there now, Big Sam's Casino.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. That's on the other side. Sam's is part of the whole complex, really, just a bit further over. But what an amazing place. So, yeah, it was a great place to play.
Yeah, I like to see that. I saw part of the on YouTube. YouTube's got everything, you know.
I know.
They've got so much Renaissance stuff. It's amazing. It's great.
It's all right, unless you do a night when you're off a bit.
Yeah. That's
you
true.
Know, that's yeah, it's kind true. Of. But when we went to Brazil last year, I was so excited because I've been before with my band and mm-hmm. several different projects, but Renaissance had never been there. It was like being the Beatles. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh my God. And what I decided to do was. Before we did Ashes Are Burning, we did the first encore. I decided that we would do a Brazilian song, so we did Corcovado, mm-hmm. and by Tom Jobim, and not Corcovado, Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. Beg your pardon.
Right.
And Oh, my God. They went crazy. And it was wonderful to do it because it was like a tribute to them as well. You know, they were so surprised. And it was great. It was very memorable to go there. And we went to Argentina as well. I've been everywhere, I guess. A lot of places. Some places I'd like to go to. I'd like to play New Zealand and Australia. Where else?
Have Norway. You been to Australia before?
I've never been to Australia. I have a niece that lives there. I've never been there. I haven't been to Sweden or Norway. That would be nice.
Right.
How about Amsterdam? But we played in Amsterdam in the 70s.
Yeah, they're a good audience.
We played gosh, where did we play in Holland this time? We did play somewhere, and I can't remember where it was, gosh. Yeah, we played in Holland. We were supposed to play in Germany one show, and the day of the show, I got a throat infection that fell on me so quickly that within half an hour, I had no voice. We had to cancel it.
Oh, my goodness.
And people have come from all over Europe to see us. The place was sold out, 400 people, in this little, it was kind of a little concert theater. And it was awful because people were crying.
Oh, my goodness.
They'd all traveled hundreds of miles to get there to see the show. And there was, I had no voice. It had completely gone.
Did you ever go back after that?
No. Because we can't just go over and do one show. You know, maybe we could do something if we go over to Germany. If we go next spring, God willing, is to try and fit that in somehow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told Sonia that you and her and Ian Anderson would have been awesome on Game of Thrones. Are you a fan of Game of Thrones?
I don't know. I've never watched it really. No.
Oh, you never saw it?
No. Well, it's not. You know, I don't watch much television because I paint a lot, and when I'm not painting, if I do watch television, I usually put an old movie on. So I don't watch things regularly because my life isn't regular. And I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. I mean, I wouldn't, honestly. I mean, I love my life, and I wouldn't change anything. But, you know, I haven't had a family. I have no children. That is the only regret, really, that I don't have any children that I could pass something on to.
Right.
You know?
But
it was not my path,
you know? Yeah, yeah.
Not my path.
I remember you telling me that you had your past life analysis done and was told that in a previous lifetime you were Mary Queen of Scots. Remember that?
I do.
And you were also in another lifetime, Anna of Bohemia, Richard II's wife?
Yep.
And, you know, you got to watch the movie. There's a Mary Queen of Scots coming to the theaters.
Oh, is it?
Got to see that.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Look it up on Google.
Yeah, I got involved with Windsor Castle, and a friend of mine worked there in St. George's House, and where the chapel is in the grounds of Windsor Castle. And the people in the office there knew that I was a singer, they were trying to raise the money for the choir that St. George's, Windsor Choir Boys School that they had in the grounds, and the school, it was a school for the choir, and they needed to put an extension. They need to raise some money, and I don't know why they didn't ask the Queen, because she's the richest woman in the world, but anyway. Duh, I don't know. But anyway, so they said that I was approached. Would I consider putting on a concert? Mm-hmm. And so I started looking around at doing a concert. I got somebody else involved, which I shouldn't have done because he messed it up in the end, because there's a little bit of greed came in there. It started to move away from what it was about, and I'm not into that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't do things for money like that. I just want to help.
I'm the same way. I'm like
I mean, I was already in touch with Billy Joel's people and all kinds of people. You know, I was getting in touch with, And then it all went to pot. We had a meeting. I became friends. The good thing about it was the governor of the castle at the time was called Sir Patrick Palmer, and he was an admiral. And
right.
I went to meet him and had lunch with his wife, Lady Joanna, in the Norman Tower in Windsor Castle, which is where he lived. And that experience was phenomenal. I've got a picture of him on my Facebook page, in all his regalia and his admiral's hat and everything. And he was a wonderful man, and that's how I met him, because through my friend Judith, and we were both invited, and you know, just to talk about everything and there. And you know, the Queen used to pop in for tea and everything, apparently, mm-hmm. into their place, because he was second to the Queen as far as ruling the castle, the Queen, mm-hmm. and then the governor. He was the governor. He passed away, sadly. I was still in touch with his wife, and his wife wrote to me after he passed away and said that they were playing Blessing in Disguise. And he was.
I love medieval castles.
Yeah,
I mean, there's something in my past.
Yeah,
and it could be because my background is my family was from Spain. You know,
right.
So of course there's a lot of history there. My dad's family was from Syria,
right.
Aleppo. So that goes way back as well.
Wow.
But I love medieval castles. I love Windsor. I saw a special on Windsor, and the big preparation they make for Easter Court, you know, which is a month over Easter, March through April, and just the festivities and the tradition that is kept up.
I think when anybody's drawn to something very, very strongly, it's because they were there at some point in their life.
I think
previous
so.
Life.
I think, mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard we had a count in our family back
really?
In Spain. Yeah, we had a count. And they were from, from Asturias, and also from Catalonia, Spain. Hmm. So, yeah, there's castles there, too. But I wanted to take a castle tour of all of Europe. I would love that.
Oh, yes. I've had some friends that have done that. Oh, my God, yeah.
Love
you can stay
that.
In the castles as well. It costs you,
oh,
but I mean, what an experience.
That would be tremendous. Have you ever done a Trace Your Family history?
You know what? Not really. Somebody, a friend of mine, in fact, it's my accountant, is a friend. He does it for a hobby, and he got back to 1800 and something or other. But to take it any further, you have to pay to get certain, information.
Sure.
Not to him, but you know that it's difficult to get further without. They always make it difficult, don't they, when people want to do stuff like that. But, no, I maybe one day I will. There are a few Haslams over here, though. I think
there's
a Haslam in the government, isn't there?
Yes.
Down south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, be careful,
the reason why I said you,
my boyfriend
I thought you would be great Game of Thrones, you know, that's about, you know, the medieval times and the queens and the castles. To me, you would make a great queen. You look like a queen, a good queen.
Oh. At least I'm not an old queen.
No, really old queen.
Hopefully I'm not an old queen.
Funnily enough,
I was watching Helen Mirren. That came on out of the blue
a couple
of days ago, and I watched it. I've seen it before, but she did an amazing job. She's wonderful. What a great actress.
She is wonderful.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She really is.
And I did I had a kind of a brush with almost Diana, Princess Diana.
Oh,
when
really?
I was doing my concert, Lilies in the Field. That was, 1997, I think, at Irving Plaza. Do you remember that? And Justin Hayward was on it, and Roy Wood flew in, and
yes,
Gary Brooker, and Phoebe Snow.
Yep.
You know about that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, yeah, when I was doing all that, I was, was it the one at Windsor Castle? No, it wasn't the one at Windsor Castle. It was... It was that, and I wrote to Diana I can't remember what for. Because obviously she's not going to perform. but I wrote to her. And, you know, you can write a letter to the Queen or anybody, but if you don't know how to write a letter, you have to put your return address and everything in a completely weird way on the envelope for it to get through. It's
really?
Almost like it's but anyway, it got through because I was told how to do it, and I got a letter back from her. Let's see where it is. I think I might have it in front of me right here. Hang on a second. I was looking. Whenever I get up, kind of upset when there's anything around that's, you know, reminds you of what. Oh, yeah, here we go. I've got a letter from St. James's Palace, London, SW1A, from the office of Her Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, Princess of Wales, 29th of August, 1995.
Oh, wow.
Now, dear Annie Haslam, the Princess of Wales has asked me to thank you for your letter and enclosure.
Uh-huh.
Her Royal Highness was interested to read your letter, but regrets she is unable to become personally involved. Her Royal Highness receives many similar letters each day and is sadly unable to help in every concern. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry to send you this disappointing reply. Nevertheless, the Princess of Wales has asked me to send you her very best wishes. Yours sincerely, Maureen A. Stevens.
Mm. And that was nice.
Wasn't that nice?
Nice response. Yeah, very nice response.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I kept the letters I got.
She would have liked you.
Pardon?
She would have liked you.
Yeah,
you
we would have got on
well.
Buddies.
We
would have done. There's a lot of people in my life that I wish I could have met, and I almost met, but so something else would happen that would take it away from me, you know, which is fine. I believe that everything has a course and a reason, and, you know.
Think you're right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Have you, there's been some strange things happening in Bucks County. Did you hear about that, the sonic booms or noises in the middle of the night that were happening there? It was all over the news.
When was this?
This was, I think, in April, the first quarter of this year. They say
really?
Residents were waking. They were waking up in the middle of the night because there's booming noises in the area. They even got the FBI after it. They can't find what it is.
Could be UFO related.
It could be. Yeah, yeah. I mean, very strange. They never found out what it was, and that was in
Bucks
County.
I know something happened here, but it was. I think the year before, and my boyfriend was outside. I think we were both. Yeah, and we heard something extremely strange like that. And, you know, it could be some kind of test. I can't remember what he said, but, we don't know what's going on, do we?
We don't.
That's
the sad
thing.
And the government's hiding it from us.
When 9/11 happened, my phone was off for days, and I called. I was trying to get hold of my friend Judith because she lived in Windsor, not far from the airport. And, you know,
right.
Nobody knew what was going to be happening. You know, everybody was a bit scared, and I called her up and got through one day. And in the background of our conversation, as she noticed it, was Morse code.
Oh, really?
Morse code, and behind our conversation, I said, Judith, I think we better get off, because she was still working at the castle then, I think. I said, I think we better get off the phone. I'm going to call up the FBI. I think it was the FBI. I think it would be the FBI, wouldn't it? And I called the local airport as well. And I said, Judith, I think you should do the same. I think you should call somebody over there and just tell them. It might mean nothing. But, of course, when that happened, there were so many crank calls and people making things up, you know, like they do, the crazy
right.
people, the nutcases. Yeah. And I called the local airport. I think I did that first. But they didn't really seem to be all that bothered, you know. What can you do? You know, it's like,
Yeah.
So I called the FBI, and same thing, really. You know, they kind of took the information down, but and they might have they might have looked into it. I don't know. They're probably not going to tell you, are they? That's the thing.
No. They say there were reports from Quakertown to Coopersburg.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people
really?
Heard this thing, and nobody knows. Yeah, that was
I'm
going
to have to look online and see.
It's
like Bucks County as well, which is where I am.
Yes. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I'm wondering what that is.
And was it last year or this year?
It was this year.
Really? You said May or April?
I think it was the article was posted in April 23rd, 2018. So, it was probably around April when it happened.
I'm gonna write this down. Have a look.
It was a big deal. Yeah. I'm a believer in UFOs, and I talked to Sonia about this. She says she started laughing because people are silly to think that we're the only ones in this great big universe. You know. So obviously she thinks she knows where we've been visited, and I believe it 100% that we they might even be here. They're on Earth already, I think.
Yeah.
But pretty soon we'll know the truth, I think. I think it's a money thing. That's why we don't know. And, we're worried about free energy.
I've got one on tape. I told you that before.
Oh, really? You have one on tape?
When I was in Brazil, yeah. I took it to my friend Inside Edition, who was a producer there, and I had a Hi-8 camera, and it was like 15 minutes before we went on stage in Petropolis in Brazil. And I went there with David Bigley, and it's the first time I went, just the two of us, actually, and we did really, it was wonderful. It was a very, the start of everything for us in Brazil again, that's for sure. And, I was outside, and there was a lovely cathedral in this place, this little town, and it's about 2 hours from Rio de Janeiro, up in the mountains. And I thought, oh, the sky looks lovely in the cathedral. I'm just going to go get my camera and just take a picture, a little bit of video quickly before I went on stage. And so, that wasn't it. I was standing, that was one of the other shows. But this happened here, this place, Petropolis, and I'm out there doing my breathing exercise. Is that right? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think why I'll be standing out there videoing. And I looked up in the sky, and I said, whoa, there was my friend Carlos and David Biglin and some other people just before we went down to start the show, on this little mound, actually, and right by the dressing rooms outside. And I was looking at the sky, and I said, whoa, look at that. It looks like a UFO. David Biglin said, that's not, but that is. And he moved over. He said, look up there. And there was this pink light that was moving steadily across the sky. It wasn't flashing. And I ran and got my video camera, and I filmed it. Friend Carlos as a tripod. And he was shaking because he said, oh, Annie, I'm nervous. I said, oh, stop it. You know, be a man. You know, keep still. And when I got it on tape, it was all over the place. You know, it was moving all over. So anyway, when I got back home, I called my friend and I said, can I come in? Because Inside Edition were the people that, when I did the Lilies in the Field benefit show, they put me on Inside Edition. They showed the clip of the show and all that kind of stuff. And I became friends with the producer. And I went up there, and he took us into an editing suite with another guy there was an expert on UFOs. And the guy who was doing it, actually, the engineer said, oh, I don't believe in him, blah, 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 blah. I thought, oh, here we go, another one of them.
Here we go.
Here we go. Anyway, so the weirdest thing was we got it to a point where he could steady it, you know, stop it. And it was just before it became completely sharp.
Right.
It was a face in the sky. And
wow.
It was like, the Mayan, the very square looks of the faces and the carvings and the stone carvings and the arenas and whatever they used to do. You know, they were very, but it looked like Jesus.
Mm.
And so, and we all said, it's a something face in the sky. I'm not going to say the word.
You need to write a song about that.
Yeah, it's a something in the sky. It's a something face in the sky, but I'm not going to be, I don't want to say that word because it's rude. Anyway, okay. We were all in disbelief, and he turned the knob one more, and then it was a UFO. It was pink on the top, pale pink, and dark pink on the bottom. And this other guy said, yeah, they're very, very common in Brazil. That's what it is.
Yeah, they are. They are common
this
in Brazil.
He said that's what it was. It's UFO, and they're very common in Brazil.
Yep.
And
I had a great conversation with Michael Pinder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Foot Blues, and he's a big believer. They used to call him Moon Boy. That was his...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was his nickname when he was a kid, because he was so much... He saw a whole fleet of them.
Really?
A whole fleet of them, yeah.
Well, God.
Yeah.
I tell you, do you remember Reg Presley from the Trogs?
Oh, of course. I met him. I met him backstage.
Yeah. He was a very close friend of Colin Andrews. Colin Andrews is the guy who's the foremost expert on crop circles. And he's an English guy. He lives in Connecticut, and he's the one who coined the phrase crop circles. He's the one. And he's got several books out, Colin Andrews. And he was very close with Reg Presley, and he was really, really into all that. He's seen all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, crop circles are another amazing phenomenon. I mean, they're not all man-made. It's impossible. Some of the other music I've seen on YouTube that I've never seen before of you doing, I saw you doing Ripples, the Genesis cover.
Yes.
You do a fantastic job of that, because that's a tough song to sing.
Isn't that wonderful? I love it. And I like it because it's not too high. I like singing low down as well with my voice, because it sounds very different. Yeah.
You did a marvelous job on that. And your Ave Maria? Oh, my gosh. I've never heard you sing that.
I do it at my Christmas concert.
On your Christmas concert? Yeah, they sang that at my wedding. I would have loved to have you sing it at my
wedding.
And you did a marvelous job on Wishing on a Star, which I've never seen before.
Oh, my God, I used to love singing that. Because the high notes are very easy for me. And so I love to get to a point where it's not a struggle. It's hard. I like, oh, God, am I going to reach that note? I know I'm going to get it, you know what I mean?
I used
to love doing that. I did that with my solo band, of course.
And Sisters was another really
beautiful song. Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't
song.
It? Yeah.
I've never heard too many people hit high notes like you. The only other person I've heard, Minnie Riperton, who was amazing.
Oh,
you know,
I loved her.
Yeah,
I loved her. Yeah, I mean, Sarah Brightman. But it's funny because she was in a dance group called Hot Gossip, I think it was, wasn't it?
Right.
And they when we did Top of the Pops, they were doing the, she was dancing on there. But I didn't know that at the time, you know. And she probably didn't know she was going to end up a singer either.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not, yeah. Your work with Steve Howe is also amazing. You know, into the
It's a shame that what we wrote together didn't see the light of day, because we were working together in England. After the Lilies in the Field benefit, about two months after, I went over to England and worked with him on some new songs, doing an album together. And unfortunately, the phone call came when I was there and we were working, and it was John asking, you know, telling Steve that he wanted to get the band back together again, and so that was the end of our project. Really, it never saw the light of day.
It was
really wonderful. I've got a demo tape of it somewhere, and I found a couple of songs the other day, but I can't find the others. It's just a memory in my mind, you know.
So it was never released as a
never
an
released.
Album?
Because we only did demos. We didn't do final recording.
Right.
But we did. Lilies in the Field was a final recording, of course, and that came out beautiful.
Maybe you can revisit that with Steve. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. No, it's too much going on. You know, yeah, we've both definitely got too much going on, so to do it again, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Is it possible for you and John Anderson to do a duet? The reason I ask is, you know, his voice is very high as well. Is that,
yeah,
is,
well, is that, it was mentioned to him, but I don't think he was into it. It was actually talked about. I would do it, but I don't think he would. I don't think he was interested.
Hmm. I've had John on the show several times.
Yeah, no, he's no.
Yeah.
I think it's a personality, not my personality, but personality right thing, you know, like a little competitive thing, which I don't get. I mean, a lot of female singers in the music business are so competitive, so rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only one that I really liked was Sandy Denny. You know, she was wonderful from Purple Convention.
Yeah.
And she was lovely to me, but some of the others are really horrible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you and Tony get along.
Really, just no, because they just... Why? I don't understand why they're in the music business if they're competitive. I thought the music business was to make music for the fans and for people to hear your music, not to be jealous or worry about somebody else in another band. What's that about, you know?
Yeah.
What's your life and your career got to do with anybody else?
Exactly.
You know, it's that I don't get it, but there you go.
Well, most people in your generation, they were in all of other musicians, and when they met them, it was like a, you know, like a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I remember John Anderson telling me how nervous he was to meet George Harrison. You know, and,
right.
Ozzy Osbourne, another one that was, you know, when he met the Paul McCartney, he went to pieces.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, I was when I did that Angels Cry, you know, Justin Hayward for my Epic Records album, and. He suggested that he came in to put acoustic guitar on it in London, I think it was, a studio in London. And then he said, well, you know, why don't we sing the chorus together? I thought, gulp. Well, apart from, you know, I mean, I didn't feel intimidated. He wasn't that kind of... Sometimes, though, when you're in the presence of somebody that's got, you know, there's certain people that got charisma. Roy Wood's got it. Pete Townsend has this, Paul McCartney has. I mean, I just sit and talk to him. It's like, zzz, you feel it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a special energy. It's a genius energy. That's what it is. And so he comes in, but he looks, you know, a very handsome man, very tall. And I thought, I had to stand on a box. So I had to stand on a box so that we would be the same height, you know. And then so I was nervous. You know, and I was standing on a box, and we did it. It was great. But, I understand when people meet somebody. And I got to meet, I did a painting for Dolly Parton, a friend of mine.
Really?
Was working. Yeah, a friend of mine was, Al Lewis, is a drummer, and he was in a band called Starcastle. That's how I met him originally.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember
Starcastle. And then he became... tour manager, stage manager for Dolly Parton, and after I did this thing with Starcastle, I did a guest thing with them. Al invited me because he said he was going to be working with Dolly and doing stage management work. Would you like to come to the show? And so I thought, and immediately I thought, I've got to do a painting for Dolly Parton. I had to do it. And she loved butterflies, so I did. And she loved lavender. So this painting just flew out of me. Aha, pardon the pun. And and I had it framed, and I took it with me. It was Atlantic City, not quite sure if it was the Borgata. It was one of the big ones anyway. It sold out. And I took my friend Pinky. And we got there, and we got backstage passes, and I met Dolly's friend, who she used to go to school with, apparently. And what was the story? That when Dolly became a singer, she said, and the other girl went in the army, apparently, I think, said, you know, when I'm famous, the famous singer, I want you to come and work with me. And that's what happened. Is she's with her. She never goes anywhere without this woman. And she sits on the side of the stage every night. And you can't get to Dolly without going to this. And she was lovely. And it was arranged that I give the painting to Dolly in the break, and it would be backstage somehow. But before then, I had to go to the production office and to be introduced and to say, and Al said, "There's my friend Annie, and she's got a painting for Dolly." And so he said, "Well, what does she want for it? How much does she want for it?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I don't want anything for it. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you must want something." I said, "No, it's a gift." Because everybody wants something from her.
I know.
You know, not particularly money, maybe, or maybe people do because you write to her and say, "Can you give me some money because you're rich?" But everybody wants an autograph or a photograph or something. And so anyway, I said, "I don't want anything." We left it with him, and he was going to give it to her. I was going to give it to her. If what happened was, in the intermission, it was put into her dressing room. So anyway, at the intermission, I went back, and the show was fantastic. And we watched the first half from the side of the stage. And then, before she saw the painting, before she went on stage, I was at the side of the stage with this lady and me and Pinky and somebody else. And Dolly came through the other side. It was a big stage, and she came through a door that was like a stage door, inside stage door that probably went to the dressing rooms or whatever. But she came out of that door, and she went to another room to change afterwards, the other direction. But she came out, she was wearing a white dress, and she looked like an angel. Oh, my God. And my heart was jumping, fluttering. I've never experienced anything like it. I swear I saw a white light around her, this woman. Because she does so much good with her money.
She does.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And her energy is strong and vibrant and it's good, you know. And she came over to me and Pinky. It was straight over to us and said, would you like a photograph with me? You know. And she stood in between us and she got 5-inch heels and she wasn't as tall as me then. And I put my arm around her and it kind of, she was like so, she put her arms around us. It was amazing. We never got the picture because the film got stuck in the camera, apparently.
Oh, man.
It wasn't a digital camera. Somebody took the picture. Yeah. You never got that picture. But anyway, she was lovely. And so didn't see her then. She doesn't know about the painting because she hadn't seen it. And then when it came, we saw her from the side of the stage. And then halfway through, when they had the intermission, she went into a room. She went, actually, let me think about this. Yeah, she went into a room that was close to the side of the stage to change into the next outfit. And I thought, she's not coming out. And then they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, take your seats." And I thought, I'm not going to see her. So she comes out of the room. Pinky and I were just resting on these flight cases about 20 feet away from her, I would say. She looks over and she says, "Who gave me that painting? Who did this painting?" And my friend Pinky pointed to me. And she came over and she threw her arms around me. She said, "Oh, my God." She said, "Thank you so much. Oh, my God." She was like, she was completely shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, my God, thank you so." And she put her arms completely around me, so I put my arms around her. It was like there was nothing of her at all. Amazing. And she left and thanked me again. And then she walked over to this ramp, walked up the ramp. As she was going up the ramp, she was saying, "Oh, my God, thank you, thank you, thank you." And apparently it's hanging up in her home. She's got a home in California, and somebody told me via Al, you know, that they tell Annie that the painting's hanging up in Dolly's house in California.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's about, oh, God, I got them full of them.
I did a conference call with her, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmy Lou Harris.
Wow.
But I didn't get picked to ask her a question. Usually I don't do those things because I like to do one-on-one, and she was promoting an album with all the her and Emmy Lou Harris and Linda Ronstadt. But it was funny to hear them laughing and teasing each other on the phone.
They did an album together, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, they did several albums together,
Very good. I've got one of them. I know it was very good. Yeah, it was a wonderful spirit. Yeah.
That's a great story. You and Patrick Mraz are good friends, and I've had Patrick on the show many a times. He's a good guy. I think he lives here over here in Clearwater, as a matter of fact.
He's down there in Florida somewhere.
But he told me that he was actually in the studio with Dolly, with Salvador Dali, because he
really?
Yes. He did work for Dolly, and he was living right around that area. He was actually a
did you say Dolly or Dali?
Oh, not Dolly Parton, Salvador Dali.
That's right. Well, that's what I thought. I went, whoa, Dali, and I thought, oh, does he mean Dolly?
Speaking of Dolly.
Wow. You know, I think he might have told me that. He might have... Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to talk to him about that. He was actually in the studio, and he was good friends with the family when he was living in Spain. Because he's also from where my parents were from, in that same area. So, yeah, that was interesting when he told me he was actually in the studio, because that's
oh,
pretty rare. Yeah.
Yeah. His art is really weird, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I just watched on the plane coming back from Japan actually, because I couldn't sleep. Was the a Genius series, National Geographic, I think, put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Antonio Banderas as Picasso.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Really? I like you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I was glued to it. Yeah, it was brilliant. It's about 10 episodes. I saw 7 on the plane, and I had to buy 3 on the TV when I got back. And the last.
Well, I know your hero's Leonardo for sure.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, whenever I sing that song, he's with me on stage. When I sing that first part, I feel like.
I
feel like he's inside me, but that sounds rude, and I don't mean it like that at all. You know? But I feel like he's part of me. And sometimes I do. I can do a painting, and I think, oh, my God, look at this, and it looks like a piece of velvet I just painted. And it was just like one whoosh, and it looked like a piece of velvet that somebody had been working on for hours. Yeah. So there's no doubt in my mind that it's a big connection there. You know?
I love your paintings. I really, really love
thank you. Yeah,
Annie,
here's
your final question today, and I've asked you this before, but now that we're on radio, I have to ask it again for the radio audience. If you had a Field of Dreams wish to sing, collaborate with anyone from the past or future, who would that be? Sonia said David Bowie.
Right. Well, I know where I would like to sing. I'm trying to think who I'd want. I would like to sing on top of a mountaintop in either Tibet, really, is the place for some
really?
Reason. It's always in
That's
my mind. Yeah, just to go to the top of the mountain and just sing at the top. Yep. gosh. Well, let me think about it. Gosh.
Annie
Haslam,
live from Tibet.
Sorry?
Annie Haslam, live from Tibet. You should do that.
Yeah, I would love to do it. But you know what? I looked into going into Tibet. My boyfriend and I wanted to go somewhere different, you know. And we're probably going to end up hopefully going to Iceland at some point, because it's just so beautiful. And I need to see those northern lights, you know.
Yeah,
but let me think. Oh, gosh. Let me think. Oh, gosh. You put me on the spot. There's several, you know.
They could have passed on.
I absolutely adored Elvis Presley's voice.
Elvis, really? Huh.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And also because I heard that when my brother was starting to sing, because that's all he listened to, you know, my brother Michael. And then he ended up as a singer himself, you know, that managed by Brian Epstein.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You and Elvis.
Me and Elvis. Well, Placido Domingo would be nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I know that I could do it, and it, you know, I mean, I'm not an opera singer, but I know that I could do whatever
sure
was needed
could.
For
yeah.
it, you know. So I think Placido Domingo. Yeah, and in fact, when we were working at Abbey Road, He was in the big studio there, and he was conducting, I think the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra was conducting it.
Really?
Yeah. And it might be, because I talked to somebody else about this, and that particular session may have been one that Alan Parsons did, because Alan Parsons was an engineer in Abbey Road Studios. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, he worked with Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. So somebody said they think that that was the session that he might have done, Alan Parsons might have done.
How about Pavarotti?
Yeah, Pavarotti, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Tell me about your brother real quick. I know he... Did he tour with the Beatles?
He did. Well, yeah, he was discovered. He was singing in a club in Bolton, and this woman wrote to a newspaper, and this guy who she wrote to, because she was so adamant about the in this letter, that Michael, somebody's got to see them. You have to come up and see this guy, this lad, you know. And so he took, he was called Godfrey Wynn, and he took his friend Brian Epstein up to Bolton. To this, I think it's the White Hart pub or something like that. And my brother was singing, and he signed him up there and then. And he was on, you know, the pop, Thank You Lucky Stars and those kind of things that were on TV.
Right.
And the Beatles, I think, did two Christmas shows. They might have done three, but I know I think my brother was on two of them. And like Dionne Warwick was on the same bill, and the Moody Blues was on another one, actually. I keep forgetting to mention that to Justin, actually. He had a single, Burt Bacharach wrote a song for him. George Martin produced him. He did two singles. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for my brother Michael, and his voice was a cross between Roy Orbison and Elvis. His voice is phenomenal. Oh. It's just amazing. You can hear us singing together on YouTube.
Right.
We sing Somewhere Out There together. We did it on a karaoke machine in his living room when I was recovering from cancer. And it was pouring with rain outside as we were in England, you know, I was visiting. But anyway, it was a time when the Beatles were starting to get so big, and Brian couldn't deal with everybody that he was taking on. You know, he was signing up all these different acts, and he had to let my brother go. And a guy called Robert Stigwood.
The great Robert
very
Stigwood.
Famous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this, because if I'd have known this, I would have forced my brother into going to see him. Apparently, he wanted to get together with my brother in view to management.
Uh-huh.
And my brother was so devastated by being let go by Brian that he gave up and went back up to Bolton.
Yeah.
And he turned down Robert Stigwood.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's a shame. My father was my father had the most incredible voice as well, but it wasn't meant to be for him, because he was a dad. He didn't have anybody. He only had me, who was like a little girl. I only knew inside how well he could sing, and then when I think about it later on, I know I can hear it. I can hear his voice. He was a tenor. His voice was phenomenal.
How about your mom?
Know it, you know.
Was she a singer too?
Sorry?
Was Mom a singer too?
No, she wasn't. No.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't a singer. She was a great cook, and she was lovely. My mom was very lovely. Yeah. My brother Keith was a brilliant artist, and then he became a Hare Krishna, and he's been a Hare Krishna, many, many years now. Yeah.
Ah.
He's happy, you know.
Was there a song that was meant for your brother, and they gave it to Paul Anka instead, or something like that? A Burt Bacharach song?
There was a song that he did that I think it was called This Dream, and I think... was it Anthony Newley, or... I know there was one of the songs that was written for somebody else that Michael covered. It could have been This Dream, which is a B-side.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, his songs, yeah, he did a song. I think they're on YouTube. One's called My Heart Won't Say Goodbye. Oh, my God. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's on YouTube with a picture of him. Yeah, and I've Got to Get a Hold of Myself is another one. They were the two, and then the B-sides were This Dream, and the other one was There Goes the Forgotten Man, which I thought, oh, I don't like that. You know, and he did it. I just don't know. Isn't that funny? I kind of got a gut feeling, but I didn't know what it was at the time. But yeah, he was. Yeah, and he carried on singing, but he just. I think he probably felt that he'd got to the top, and where could he go now? You know, but he could have gone further. With Robert Stigwood, most definitely.
Was he? Did John Lennon push him in the orchestra pit by accident or something? Was that him?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. I heard you hear these things around the internet.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that one. But my brother said they used to go out for dinner and that. They were crazy. He said they were all crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I could believe it.
You know, crazy things.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably never stopped laughing, you know. I met Paul McCartney, you know that, because I told you that before as well. That was another incredible. And I met Ringo. Who did I meet? With Harry Nilsson. Yeah,
yep,
when I look back,
I've
been blessed. I've met some amazing people, you know, in very odd circumstances. You know, and then, of course, Roy Wood was my fiancé, like, he's a genius as well.
Roy Wood, yeah.
Yeah, he's a genius, yeah. We're still friends.
Yeah, he is. He sure is.
Yeah.
Annie, do you have anything else you want to add? I think we covered the new video.
You know, the band's still alive. We've got this fabulous new DVD out that's going to be available at any minute now. It should be already on. It's going to be on Amazon.
It's out.
It's out of Amazon.
It's out now.
It's out in Europe and Japan, Asia on Amazon. But we're trying to put it up, but we're having difficulty with it right now. But it's going to be available any minute. They've got all the DVDs there and everything. But if anybody wants anything signed, I can do that as well. That's going to be available on the site. And we've got these shows coming up. And if anybody's in Pennsylvania listening to this, then we've got my art show this coming Saturday in New Hope, Pennsylvania. You know, the band sounds better. It's not fair to say better because the old band was phenomenal as well. It's just in a different way. You know what I mean? They're brilliant. It's just a brilliant band. And it sounds more like even without the orchestra, we sound like an orchestra because of the technology that we're using.
And
we've got five strong singers in the band, which makes such a difference.
You have not changed a bit. You've only gotten better. You haven't changed a bit. You've gotten better.
I feel my voice is pretty strong. I'm amazed, really. Everybody loves my paintings. I take the little paintings to the shows, and I always sell them all. You know, people collecting my artwork now. And, you know, because it's not out of people's reach, you know. And I've got my website, anniehaslam.com, my artwork, and Facebook page is Annie Haslam Art. And the Renaissance Facebook page is Renaissance Touring. And we have a website, renaissancetouring.com, where we're always putting things up there. And we're still alive and kicking. I hope that we're going to be able to come down to Florida again soon.
I hope so.
And
We've got a brand new, in Sarasota, we have an arts, you know, a performing arts center called the Van Wezel.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about redoing the whole thing now. And it's going to be like the Kennedy Center number 2 is what calling it.
Oh,
so that'll be a perfect place for Renaissance.
Yeah.
To perform. Yeah.
Wow.
Right by the water.
Oh, lovely.
Yep.
That'll be perfect for you.
Annie, thank you so much. It's always great talking to you.
I feel like you're one of my best friends. Yeah. I mean, I could go on for hours. I'm terrible.
I know.
I've got, you know, so much to say.
Well, so could I.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. It's interesting for people, you know, to hear different stories as well, you know.
You know, one day you should do a, you know, one of those where you do an intimate show and then you have questions from the audience like Greg Lake did.
Right.
You know, Greg Lake did that I forgot what he called it. I talked to Greg about it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's interesting. People love those shows, too.
Yeah, well, we're doing, when we did the Indiegogo project, we offered some house concerts. And and Rabe, we do it's mostly my solo stuff, actually, with some Renaissance stuff, because there's not much you can do with two people, you know.
Right.
Especially as I don't play anything at all. But and we find that's, you know, a lot of fun, and then people have got questions. I prefer playing with orchestras.
I love it.
I'm in my element. It's like incredible, really. Yeah.
When I see Yes or the Moody Blues play with an orchestra, it's like, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the music should be played with these great musicians.
Yeah.
In the background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, thank you very much again. I'll send you all the links to the interview, and you know we'll put this on YouTube, iTunes. It'll be all over the place for you.
Oh, wonderful! So when you let me know, and I'll put it on our social media, as they call it.
Yep, social media.
Yeah. Okay, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. We love you.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
All right. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Purchase a brand new DVD CD set from Renaissance entitled A Symphonic Journey at Amazon.com. The DVD was filmed in October of 2017 and included, for the first time, the addition of the Renaissance Chamber Orchestra, a handpicked group of 10 musicians, including strings, woodwind, brass, and percussion. For this new DVD, the band returned to the Keswick Theater, this time employing the use of track and boom-mounted cameras to create more up-close and personal shots of the band and orchestra. The concert also featured large-screen projections of original paintings by Annie Haslam with corresponding titles to each song performed through the concert. The DVD 2-CD set should be available now from Amazon USA, Europe, and Japan. Also, Annie has signed copies, and it will be available through the band's website, www.renaissancetouring.com. You can learn more about the band by visiting that very website, www.renaissancetouring.com, facebook.com/renaissancetouring, or Annie's website at www.anniehaslam.com, and also facebook.com/anniehaslamart. Very special thanks to the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio for making magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me directly at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, the true story of an eclectic American family and their wacky family business. Available now at Amazon.com. I promise you will live it. And there's a trailer out there, a brand new trailer that I've concocted. And it's out on YouTube. And you can see it and learn a little bit more about the book. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.